الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, a pen, or somewhere taking notes. Your Quran is the revelation sent to mankind, and we're going to make some reference to various chapters and verses in Quran. That's the only textbook that you are required to have for this class. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's class will be on being aware of your family and your friends who may hate you because you decide to embrace Islam, or hate you because of your faith. And so we had this happen through some of the messengers or the prophets of Allah, and of course it can happen to you. We have situations sometimes when a person embraces Islam. For example, a woman or a man embraces Islam and they're living with their parents. Their parents may not agree with their methodology or their ideology, and they kick them out of their home. They say, "You are believing Islam, you have to get out of here. You practice Islam, you have to get out of here." And so I just wanted to give you all that, basically that heads up, because that's how some people are. They may be very, very spiritual people and tolerate everyone, but they will not tolerate you being a Muslim. So I want to let you know about that. That did not just happen to you, it happened to others before you. But don't let that be make you afraid of embracing Islam, because others gonna feel different or indifferent because you decided, yeah, this makes sense to me. I read about it. I went to Imam Hassan Amin's class, and so I like what's being said. It seemed to fit me. It's what I've been looking for all my life. It bring me comfort. Then I'm going to embrace Islam. And you ask Allah to help you. Ask Allah to guide their hearts. Maybe they embrace Islam too. Also ask Allah to be with you and don't put difficulty upon you. Because Allah says, a couple of ayahs of the Quran, he said, for every difficulty there is relief. So when we go through trials and tribulation, for every hardship there is relief. He's well aware of it. He can see a black ant on a black rock on a black night. So he can very well see and know what you are doing and be able to help you out of your situations. So don't be afraid to embrace Islam. Some of you may not want to embrace Islam because you're afraid what others are going to say. Oh, my friends, oh, my family. But this is not new. It happens to others before you, and others turn on their family members, and it may happen to you, but don't let that shy you away or keep you away of being a block or a bridge that you can't cross to get to where you, to the disbelief that you presently have, to the belief of Islam. But let me tell you some of the various stories of it regarding that. We're going to talk about, and I talked about this before, about Prophet Lut. Some people call him Lot, L-O-T, or Lut, L-U-T. But we're talking about the same person. And so he had angels come and visit him, and they come to visit him. They came to visit him. You go to one of my previous episodes, I talk a lot about Lot in that particular episode. And so I won't get into it right now. Now, When the darkness fell on the town, Lot or Lot escorted his guests to his house, to his home. No one was aware of their presence. However, as soon as Lot's wife, or Lot's wife, saw them, she slipped out of the house quietly so that no one noticed her. Quickly, she ran to her people, with the news, and it spread to all inhabitants like wildfire. The people rushed towards Lot quickly and excitedly. When Lot was surprised by their discovery of his guests, and he wondered who could have informed them, the matter became clear. However, when he could not find his wife anywhere, thus adding grief to his sorrow. When Lot saw the mob approaching his house, he shut the door, but they kept on banging on it. He pleaded with them to leave the visitors alone and fear Allah's punishment. He urged them to seek sexual fulfillment with their wives. Again, go to a previous episode and you learn more about the whole story about Lot. For that is what Allah has made lawful. Lot's people waited until he had finished his short sermon, and then they roared with laughter. Blinded by passion, they broke down the door. Lot became very angry, and he stood powerless before these violent people. He was unable to prevent the abuse of his guests, but he firmly stood his ground and continued to plead with the mob. Lot's wife, like Noah's wife, are disbelievers. And Allah says, now right now you turn to chapter 66, verse 10. Chapter 66, verse 10, where Allah talks about both Lot and the wife of Noah. And Allah says, Allah the Almighty declare, Allah sets forth an example for those who disbelieve. The wife of Noah and the wife of Lot. They were under two of our righteous slaves, but they both betrayed their husbands by rejecting their doctrine. So they, meaning Noah and Lot, befitted them, their respected wives, not, against Allah. And it was said, enter the fire along with those who enter. Again, this is chapter 66, verse 10, where Allah talks about these two women, these two wives, these two men, Noah and Lot, and that these were righteous slaves of Allah, but they did not follow their husband. The wife of Noah didn't follow her husband, and the wife of Lot did not follow her husband. They were disbelievers. And Allah says what? Enter the fire along with those who enter. They enter to follow. They follow those people who were disobedient to Allah, and they went to end up into the hellfire. And so we don't want to follow those people who don't believe in Allah, and those who want to disobey Allah. They only want to lead you into the hellfire. They will not be happy until you are like them and you go into the hellfire. You believe as they believe, because they believe what they're doing and what they're saying is correct. But many people are very lost. They don't want to obey Allah. They want to obey Allah's messengers. And so they are lost. And so they end up, the people who are lost, they end up in what? They end up in the hellfire. They end up in al-Nur, fil Nur. And so, Nar. And they end up in the hellfire, in the fire, and the only thing that keeps the fire burning is men in stone. Some may say women in stone, because it's not going to be just men in the hellfire, or it's going to be women there. It won't be any kind of electricity. I'm keeping the fire burning. Any kind of solar panels, keeping the fire burning. Any kind of coal, any kind of oil, anything like that, or gas, anything like that, keeping things burning. The men and stone, human beings and stone, keep the fire burning in the hellfire. And none of us want to be the ones that keep the hellfire burning. Our skin is burning, and the stone, whatever stone is there, is also burning, because we are the ones that are disobeying the law, disbelieving in the law, and doing the opposite of what the law says. You may have family members that, if you decide, I want to embrace Islam, I want to embrace a faith that I feel more comfortable with, or I feel like it fulfills me. It fills me up with the goodness I'm supposed to have and the kindness I'm supposed to have, and to get me closest to Allah and closest to Allah. That's what I want. And people are going to try to say all kinds of things to you to keep you from embracing Islam, to keep you away from Islam, to give feed you false information about Islam. Anything that I'm saying to you in our class for all these years, I've been teaching this class to you all who've been attending for all these years and who are new students, welcome. I've been teaching this for a long time. Anything that I teach and that I talk about, you can read this in Quran for yourself. You can research it for yourself. All the information that I have cannot give you any kind of secret information or some hidden information. Everything I'm reading about and I'm talking about, you can find this on your own. If you really look at it, you can even find out for some of the prophets before Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, which is the Khutbah Nabiyyin, he is the final prophet sent to mankind. You can find out for them, basically, they're saying the same message. Worship Allah, worship God. And so the ones before them, some of the people follow them, and some of the people did not follow them. And some of the people obey them, and some of the people do not obey them. Even their close friends, confidants, and their wives did not follow them and obey them. And so I'm saying the same thing to you all. And that is, people may not agree with your decision, but that's their decision to make. You look out for your soul like they look out for their soul. Someone will not be happy and to follow them until the hellfire. Until you follow them until the nar. We don't want to do that. None of us want to do that. And I explained to you what's in the hellfire, what happens in the hellfire. Also explained to you what's in paradise and what happens in paradise, and the beauty of paradise and the ugly of the hellfire. In Islam, we only believe in the two things. You either going to the paradise or you going to the hellfire. You have a choice. The choice is what you do in this world, how you deal with people in this world. Do you obey Allah or disobey Allah in this world? And you want life, eternal life, and be in a good way, then you obey Allah. But if you want to have eternity, or spend eternity in the hellfire, and the burning and the torture of the hellfire, then you disobey Allah. And some may not believe me. That, again, is your choice. I'm only informing you. And then you make the final decision for yourself. I can't make anyone embrace Islam that are listening to me, and I cannot make anyone not embrace Islam that are listening to me. I can only give you the information, and then you do what you want with the information. So let me read on. And then we talk about Abu Lahab, which is one of the prophet's uncles. And so you had a situation where you have Abu Lahab. He was one of the prophet's uncles. He did not embrace Islam. And then also one of the prophet's uncle, Abu Talib, he did not embrace Islam. But he did have one uncle that did embrace Islam, and that was Uncle Hamza. But I'm going to get into his lineage. I'm just going to read this, because we're talking about those people who are your relatives, close relatives, and they may think different than you. And may not be embracing. You may get that. Right now, they may be your best friend, your best buddy, your aunt, your uncle, your relative. They may embrace you and love you to death. But if you decide to change you train embrace Islam, you may find them not on your team. But you may find some that may be on your team. And it's all about, okay, that's good for you. You embrace Islam, but it's not good for me. And that would be their choice. But I'm only talking about the ones that are going to may give you a hard time because you decide to embrace Islam. Might be your uncle, your aunt that you really love so much. And they always give you great advice or gave you things that you wanted or that you needed or you desire. But they may be the one, the relative that may be the first to turn against you because you decided on another path when you turn in terms of the path towards Allah, and they have another path that is not towards Allah. But let me finish in reading about Abu Lahab, who is one of the uncles of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. And we said here that Abu Lahab, may Allah curse him, and once said to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, curse you all the day. Then a divine inspiration came, curse the hands of Abu Lahab, the same thing, Abu Lahab, and curse and perish he. You can find this, very short chapters about Lahab. It's going to be, you're going to find this in chapter 111, 111, and basically in the first verse. And you will keep reading for yourself about the whole the background of Abu Lahab, and it mentioned also his wife, who was similar to him in her feelings towards the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And Allah knows best. When the verse came, and it had mentioned about Abu Lahab, and it's going to be again. We're talking about verse 1-1, I'm going to call it chapter 1-1-1, chapter 1-1-1, verse 1 through 5. Let me kind of get through that just a little bit. When you warn your tribe near Kinder, it was revealed the prophet ascended Safa, which a mount in Arabia, and started calling, O Bani Fihir, O Bani Adi, addressing various tribes of the Quraysh. That was a larger tribe. Had some other tribes on part of them. Addressing various tribes of Quraysh till they were assembled. Those who could not come themselves sent messengers to see what was there. Abu Lahab and other people from Quraysh came, and the prophet then said, suppose I told you that there is an enemy cavalry in the valley intending to attack you. Will you believe me? They said, yes, for we have not found you telling anything other than the truth. He then said, I am a warner to you in face of terrific punishment. Abu Lahab said to the prophet, may your hands perish all this day. It is for this purpose you have gathered us? Then it was revealed, perish the hands of Abu Lahab, one of the prophet's uncle, and perish he, his wealth and his children, will not profit him. Also, we mentioned regarding the same thing, once Allah's apostle became sick and could not offer his night prayer, which is called Tahajjud, for two or three nights. Then a lady, the wife of Abu Lahab, came and said, O Muhammad, I think that your shaitan has forsaken you, and for I have not seen him with you for two or three nights. On that Allah revealed, by the forenoon and by the night when it darkens, your Lord, O Muhammad, has neither forsaken you nor hate you. You can find this in chapter 93, verse 1 through 3. Again, chapter 93, verse 1 through 3. When Abu Lahab's wife came and said, look, we haven't seen you for a few days, but your shaitan forsake you? What's happening? And so Allah said, he sent down the verse. The verse of chapter 93, verse 1 through 3. And he said, like, look, by the forenoon and by the night, when it's darkest, your Lord, O Muhammad, has neither forsake you nor hate you. She was saying the opposite of what Allah was doing for the Prophet Muhammad. Allah is not going anywhere. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he was sick, so he couldn't get up to make the nighttime prayer. But she couldn't just let it go and say, look, for two nights we haven't seen you. And so what happened? Your shaitan, your devil left you? And so, no, Allah said, no, don't listen to her. I did not forsake you, and I do not hate you. I am with you. And so I want you all to understand that not just Abu Lahab's wife was the one that was against Prophet Muhammad. Of course, Abu Lahab was against Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And to go further with the same, talking about the Prophet, his uncle said, may you perish. Is it for this that you have gathered us? So there was revealed, perish the hands of Abu Lahab. And so most of the already read, and then Allah goes even further pertaining to the uncle of Abu Lahab, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He said, perish the hands of Abu Lahab. And perish he, his wealth, and whatever he earned did not avail him anything. Soon he shall be burnt in a flaming fire. And his wife, the carrier of crackling wood, firewood, shall have a rope of palm leaf fiber around her neck. So Allah explained what's going to happen to these people who rejected the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. They hated him. You gather us to tell us this? The people said, look, okay, Muhammad, you said that the army is coming over the, Kafir army coming over the ridge, coming to attack us. If you say that to us, we're going to believe you because you never told us a lie, never been a liar. You've always been a truthful person. But then he said, look, I'm a warner. I'm warning you about a terrific, a horrible torture, a torment, a punishment going to come your way. Embrace this Islam that I'm talking about. And then, of course, and Abu Lahab, he said, no. He said, look, you know, this is his uncle who had a lot of sway over, I guess, the people. Said, basically, your uncle's saying this, and it must be true. He's saying to him, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this man. This man is crazy. He invited us here, gathers here to tell us this about this whole Islam stuff. No. Then Allah says something opposite. He said, perish the hands of Abu Lahab, and his wealth will not benefit him. And he will be of a flaming fire. And his wife also will burn with crackling wood and had this rope of palm leaf fiber around her neck. So my beautiful students, understand that the people that are around you, where your relatives and your friends, they may say things to you and not believe what? You changing your name? You gonna dress a certain way? You gonna read this Quran and do five prayers? You gonna obey Allah? What's wrong with you? You were raised up so-and-so or this kind of way. And you're going to embrace this thing? Get out of our face. We don't have nothing to do with you. Don't sit at my table. Matter of fact, get out of my house. I don't have anything to do with you if you're talking about embracing this thing or this stuff called Islam and be a Muslim. So this may happen, but you can't be fearful regarding that. You cannot let them bully you. And that's what will be happening, that the people are bullying you to do what they want you to do and not embrace what is best for you. So I'm just giving you all a heads up pertaining to how people may respond to you. So you be patient. I had that same question put to me when I first embraced Islam, coming from another faith to Islam. And then I was basically asked a question. You know, you're Islam, you're embracing Islam? What is this? Why are you doing this? And I explained why I was doing it and the reason I was doing it and why I felt it fit for me. And the person I said it to, they understood. They left me alone. They knew that I was just independent thinker. And normally I think pretty well on my own and do what was best for me, and Islam was best for me. So don't let Shaitan and your family or your friends make you afraid to embrace Islam. And you pray to Allah, oh Allah, I'm making the right decision. Oh Allah, protect me. Oh Allah, guide me. Oh Allah, be with me and make my situation better, because they may be the ones that are going to make the situation worse. It's like when the situation with Lut, when he brought his guests, and what did his wife do? She made the situation bad because she went and told the people about Lut's guests, and then it spread like wildfire throughout the land, and then they came, rushed over to Lut's house, banged on his door, knocked his door down for the most part to get to him or to get to his guests. And so, my beautiful students, please don't let people steer you in the wrong direction pertaining to what may be best for you. And so I want to mention one other thing to you, and that is basically what will happen on the Day of Judgment. You got to make a choice that is best for you. So you can particularly be this last part I'm going to talk about. And you can turn to chapter 80, verse 34 through 42. Again, chapter 80, verse 34-42. And I'll give you a chance to get to that. And this is going to be the last thing that I'm going to read to you. And this is going to be sort of the chaos that is going on the Day of Judgment. All of us are going to have to be there. All of us will be there. Won't be anywhere else that we're going to be. We're going to be before our Lord on the Day of Judgment. And it says, that day shall a man flee from his own brother, and from his mother, and from his father, and from his wife, and his children. Each one of them that day will have enough concern of his own to make him indifferent to others. Some faces that day will be beaming, laughing, rejoicing. And other faces that day will be dust stained. Blackness will cover them. Such will be the rejectors of Allah, the doer and inquisitor. So, my beautiful students, we want the one, the doer, the one that is majestic, the one is a sustainer, the one in Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Qudus, Al-Jabbar, all the beautiful names that we identify Allah to be. And that Allah, He is equal. He makes sure that He is not an unequal individual. He makes sure that everyone will get what they earn. And so, my beautiful students, please, we want our faces to be shining on that day, on the Day of Judgment. And one of the ways that are going to help your face to shine is to embrace Islam, to believe in Islam. And you have those whose faces will be darkened. And these are the ones like a dust on their face, stained. These are the ones that are the rejecters of Allah. And we don't want to reject Allah. We want to do what is best, no matter how many in our family don't like what we're doing. That's their choice. And you have your choice to make. And that is to embrace what is best for you and do what is best for you and do what is best for your soul. To find out and learn more about the Islamic faith, and you can increase your knowledge of Islam by going to Why Islam. going to the International Online University, going to American Open University, and other sources you can go to find out more about Islam. And you can also go to MuslimNetwork.tv and just find out what Muslims are doing throughout the world. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.